The next 10 years will pass no matter what you do. The question is, will you be proud of how you used them? Most people don't think that far ahead. They wake up, repeat the same routine, and hope life somehow gets better. But a decade is enough time to completely change who you are, what you can do, and the life you live. That change won't happen by accident. It will happen because you make it happen. Life change, because you make it happen. This isn't about impossible promises or perfect plans. It's about making real decisions today that set you up for the future you actually want. It's about knowing what matters, cutting out what doesn't, and taking steps you can stick to. In the next few minutes, I'm going to show you how to take control of your next 10 years so they become the most productive, fulfilling, and successful years of your life, starting right now. Chapter 1. Choose the kind of person you want to become. When you think about the next 10 years of your life, the first question you must ask yourself is simple and powerful. Who do you want to be? Not what you want to have, not where you want to go, but who you want to become as a person. Because the truth is, everything you get, everything you achieve, and everything you experience in the next decade will be the result of the person you choose to be right now. If you don't decide, life will decide for you, and you may not like where it takes you. Choosing the kind of person you want to become is not something you do in 5 minutes. It's not a casual thought you have on your way to work or before you go to bed. It's a deep decision that shapes your daily behavior, your relationships, your career, your health, and your peace of mind. This choice determines your habits, your attitude, and how you respond to challenges. You can't afford to treat it lightly. First, you need to get honest about where you are right now. Look at your current habits, your thinking patterns, the way you treat people, the way you treat yourself. Ask yourself, if I keep living exactly the way I am today, where will I be in 10 years? This isn't about blaming yourself or feeling bad about where you are. It's about taking a clear, unfiltered picture of your life so you can start designing something better. Because if you can see the truth about where you are, you can start shaping where you're going. Once you're clear on where you are, start imagining the kind of person you want to be. Picture how that person lives their day, how they talk to people, how they handle setbacks, how they make decisions, how they manage their time. Don't just think about money, career, or possessions. Think about character, discipline, wisdom, and influence. Think about how you want people to describe you when you're not in the room. Do you want to be known as someone dependable, someone inspiring? Someone who always keeps their word? Those are the qualities that create the foundation for the next decade of your life. This is where many people go wrong. They focus only on what they want to achieve without deciding who they need to be to achieve it. They set goals for income, fitness, or travel, but they don't work on becoming the disciplined, focused, and consistent person who can actually reach those goals. Without that, the goals remain dreams that fade away with time. The truth is, you cannot achieve a higher result without first becoming a higher version of yourself. The next 10 years are shaped by your identity far more than your intentions. When you choose the kind of person you want to become, you also choose your daily standards. This means deciding what you will and will not tolerate from yourself. It means saying, this is the level I operate at, and sticking to it no matter how you feel on a particular day. If you want to be the kind of person who is healthy and strong, you can't wait until you feel motivated to eat right or exercise. If you want to be a leader in your work, you can't wait until conditions are perfect to speak up or take action. Your standards have to lead the way before your feelings catch up. This decision also changes how you handle time. If you know the person you want to become, you start using your time differently. You stop wasting it on things that don't move you closer to that vision. You stop saying yes to every request or distraction. You start protecting your focus like it's your most valuable asset, because it is. Every hour you spend is shaping the person you'll be in 10 years, whether you realize it or not. The question is, are those hours shaping you into the person you truly want to be? You also have to look at the people you spend your time with. If you're serious about choosing the kind of person you want to become, you can't surround yourself with people who are careless about their own growth. The energy, mindset, and habits of the people around you will influence your future more than you think. If you want to be someone disciplined, inspired, and capable, you need to spend more time with people who already live that way. Their example will push you to raise your own standards. On the other hand, if you keep company with people who don't care about improving, it will slowly drain your drive to grow. Here's another important truth. The person you want to become in the next 10 years will require sacrifice from the person you are today. You will have to give up certain comforts, distractions, and old habits that feel familiar but keep you stuck. Growth is not about adding more to your life until you're overwhelmed. It's about removing what doesn't fit the person you're becoming. Every time you let go of something that no longer serves you, you make room for something better to take its place. One of the most powerful steps you can take is writing down a clear description of the person you want to be. This isn't about writing a fantasy or a vague wish list. Be specific. Write how this person thinks, acts, speaks, and handles life. Write what their mornings look like, how they work, how they treat their family, how they learn, and how they respond when things go wrong. When you put this in writing, you have a target to aim at every day. You stop drifting and start steering your life in the right direction. But this choice isn't just about the big picture. It's about the small, daily actions that match the person you're becoming. If the person you want to be is healthy, what do they eat today? If the person you want to be is successful in their work, how do they spend the next hour? If the person you want to be is patient and kind, how do they speak in the next conversation? Every day gives you a chance to act like that person now, before the results fully show up. Over time, those consistent actions turn into your identity. Remember this, becoming the person you want to be is not a one-time decision. It's a choice you make again and again, every single day, for the next 10 years. Some days you will feel tired, some days you will feel like nothing is changing. But if you keep showing up as that person, if you keep making decisions that match your vision, your life will look very different in the years ahead. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to be consistent. One of the best ways to keep this vision alive is to review it regularly. Every week, look at your description of the person you're becoming. Ask yourself if your actions this week matched that vision. If they did, keep going. If they didn't, adjust immediately. Don't wait for the end of the month or the end of the year to make changes. Small course corrections now prevent big regrets later. You should also celebrate your progress, even if it's small. When you make a better decision today than you would have a year ago, acknowledge it. When you handle a challenge in a way that reflects your new standards, take a moment to appreciate that growth. These small victories keep your motivation alive and remind you that you are moving in the right direction. The next 10 years will come, whether you prepare for them or not. The only question is whether you will arrive there as the person you truly wanted to be, or as someone shaped by chance, distraction, and other people's expectations. The decision you make today about who you want to become will echo through every area of your life. It will influence your income, your relationships, your health, and your happiness. 10 years from now, you will either thank yourself for making this decision or wish you had started sooner. So, start now. Choose the kind of person you want to become with clarity and commitment. Write it down, review it often, align your daily actions with that vision. Protect your time. Surround yourself with people who push you higher. Let go of habits and distractions that hold you back. Keep moving forward, even when progress feels slow. And when you look back in a decade, you'll see that every moment you acted like the person you wanted to be brought you closer to living the life you always wanted. That is how you fix your next 10 years. Chapter 2. Make small daily changes that actually last. Change does not have to be overwhelming to be effective. Too often people make the mistake of thinking they need to completely overhaul their lives in one big leap, only to find themselves burned out, frustrated, and right back where they started. The truth is, real transformation comes from small, deliberate actions you can keep doing day after day. If you want to build a life that's truly different in the years ahead, you need to start with changes you can maintain, not ones that drain you before you even see results. When you commit to making small daily changes, you give yourself the chance to win every single day. That win might be as simple as waking up 15 minutes earlier to plan your day, choosing water instead of soda, or spending 10 minutes reading something that grows your mind. These are not huge, dramatic moves, but they build something far more valuable: consistency. And consistency, not intensity, is what shapes your future. You cannot expect to rewrite the next decade of your life by doing something big once. You do it by doing something small every single day until it becomes part of you. One of the reasons small changes work is because they bypass the resistance in your mind. If you tell yourself you're going to run 5 miles a day after months of not exercising, your brain will fight you. It will come up with excuses, delays, and reasons why you should start tomorrow. But if you tell yourself you're going to walk for 10 minutes today, that resistance is smaller. You can start now without feeling like you're climbing a mountain. Over time, those 10 minutes turn into more, but it starts with something you can actually commit to without dreading it. Another benefit of small changes is that they fit into your current life without tearing it apart. You don't need to quit your job to start building better habits. You don't need to abandon everything you're doing to create space for improvement. You can fit better choices into the gaps of your day, the moments when you're waiting, commuting, or winding down before bed. Instead of scrolling endlessly on your phone, you could use that time to stretch, learn, plan, or reflect. Those moments add up far more than most people realize. To make these changes last, you need to be intentional. A vague plan like, "I'll try to be healthier," or "I'll read more," is not enough. Decide exactly what action you will take and when you will take it. If you want to read more, commit to reading 10 pages before bed. If you want to get in shape, commit to doing 20 push-ups every morning before breakfast. The more specific you are, the easier it is to hold yourself accountable. You also need to track your changes. This might seem unnecessary for small actions, but tracking creates a record of your progress and keeps your motivation alive. Mark off each day you complete your new habit. Seeing those marks build up creates a sense of momentum you don't want to break. Missing a day doesn't mean you've failed, but it should remind you to get back on track quickly before one day turns into a week. It's important to understand that small changes compound over time. Just like small negative habits, like eating a little more junk food each day or skipping a short walk, add up to big problems, small positive habits create big rewards. You might not see a difference in a week, but in a month you'll feel it, and in a year you'll see it clearly. The key is to trust the process and stay consistent, even when the results aren't obvious yet. You also have to choose changes that matter to your bigger picture. Making small daily changes is not about staying busy, it's about moving in the right direction. If your goal is to have more energy, focus on small actions that improve your health. If your goal is to grow financially, focus on small actions that improve your earning ability, such as learning new skills or managing your spending. Every small change should connect to the life you want in the long run. Avoid the trap of trying to change too many things at once. When you start stacking too many new habits at the same time, you risk overwhelming yourself and dropping all of them. Focus on one or two key changes until they feel natural, then add more. This builds a foundation that will actually last instead of collapsing under pressure. It's far better to make one small change you keep for 10 years than 10 changes you abandon after 10 days. Another key to making these changes last is linking them to something you already do. For example, if you want to start journaling, do it right after brushing your teeth at night. If you want to stretch, do it while your morning coffee is brewing. This connection makes it easier to remember and less likely to be forgotten. You are essentially attaching the new habit to an existing routine, so it becomes part of your normal life. Your environment plays a huge role in whether small changes stick. If you want to eat healthier, keep better food in your home and remove the snacks you're trying to avoid. If you want to exercise daily, keep your workout gear visible and ready. The easier you make it to take the action, the more likely you'll do it. On the other hand, if your environment is full of triggers for bad habits, you'll constantly have to fight temptation. And over time, that battle wears people down. Mindset is just as important as the habit itself. You have to approach these small changes with patience and commitment. The reason so many people fail is because they give up when progress feels slow. But real growth is rarely dramatic in the beginning. It's quiet, steady, and often invisible until one day you realize your whole life feels different. The person who embraces this truth will always beat the person who keeps starting and quitting big plans. You should also remind yourself why you are making each change. Without a clear reason, motivation fades quickly. If your change is to save money, know exactly what you're saving for and how it will improve your life. If your change is to get stronger, picture the energy and confidence it will give you in the years ahead. Your why keeps you moving forward when the action feels small or insignificant. Celebrate small wins along the way. Many people ignore them because they seem too minor to matter, but these wins are proof that you are becoming someone new. If you've read every day for a month, acknowledge it. If you've gone a week without skipping your workout, give yourself credit. Recognizing progress builds the confidence to keep going. Be prepared for setbacks. Even with small changes, life will throw challenges your way. You'll get busy, you'll get tired, or something unexpected will interrupt your routine. The difference between those who succeed and those who give up is how quickly they return to the habit after a break. Missing a day is normal. Missing a month is a choice. If you fall off track, start again as soon as possible without overthinking it. Over time, these small daily actions become automatic. You won't have to force yourself or constantly think about them. They'll just be part of who you are. And once they are automatic, you have more space to add new changes. This is how real growth happens. One small action at a time, layered over years, until you've built a completely different life. If you take anything from this, it should be this. The next 10 years will not be shaped by rare bursts of effort. They will be shaped by the things you do daily without fail. If those things move you forward, your future will be better than your present. If they hold you back, the next decade will feel like more of the same. You have the power to decide which it will be, starting right now with one small change you can keep. Choose something today that you can do every day. Keep it simple. Keep it consistent. And watch what happens when small daily changes start to shape the rest of your life.
Chapter 3. Pick one skill now and master it deeply. If you want the next 10 years of your life to be radically better than the last 10, one of the smartest decisions you can make right now is to pick one skill and master it completely. Not dabble in it, not try it when you feel like it, not switch to something else every few months. I'm talking about making a firm choice to develop one ability so deeply that it becomes part of who you are, something people recognize you for, and something that opens doors for you no matter what changes come in the world. There's a trap most people fall into, chasing too many things at once. They start learning one skill, then get distracted by another. They get pulled into the excitement of starting something new but never get far enough to become exceptional. In the end, they know a little about many things but are not great at anything. And in the real world, it's the people who are great at something who stand out, get noticed, and create opportunities. If you want your next decade to be built on solid ground, you need to commit to depth, not just variety. Choosing a skill to master requires more than just picking something that sounds interesting. You need to think about where you want your life to go and what will still be valuable years from now. The skill you choose should be something you can see yourself working on for years, something that will grow in demand, and something you genuinely care about enough to keep learning when it gets difficult. Passion alone isn't enough. There has to be long-term relevance and the potential for real impact. Once you've decided, you have to treat that skill like your personal mission. This means making time for it no matter how busy you are. You can't rely on when I have time, because that time rarely appears on its own. You make it by cutting out distractions, scheduling learning sessions, and practicing deliberately. It means you stop treating your growth as optional and start treating it as essential. Mastery doesn't come from doing something occasionally. It comes from deliberate practice. This is focused, intentional work that stretches your abilities. It's not just repeating what you already know. It's studying the details, breaking down the process, finding your weak points, and improving them. If you're learning a language, it's not just speaking casually but drilling pronunciation, grammar, and vocabulary until you can use them with ease. If you're learning a technical skill, it's not just watching tutorials but actually applying what you learn to solve problems. The deeper you go into a skill, the more you start to see layers that others miss. Beginners only see the surface, they focus on the basics and stop there. But the person committed to mastery understands that the deeper you dig, the more connections you find, the more creative you can be, and the more valuable your expertise become. You move from just doing something to understanding how and why it works, and eventually, you can teach it to others in a way that's clear and powerful. Focusing on one skill also shapes your identity. People will start to see you as the one who's great at this. That reputation builds trust, and trust turns into opportunity. If someone needs that skill, you're the first person they think of. You're no longer competing with everyone. You're in your own lane, and when you own that lane, you have control over your future in a way that people who spread themselves thin never will. But there's something else mastery gives you: confidence. The kind of confidence that comes from knowing you can do something exceptionally well, even under pressure. This isn't the fake confidence of pretending you know more than you do. This is earned confidence, built from years of showing up and sharpening your abilities. That kind of confidence changes the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, and the way you take on challenge. To get to that level, you have to be willing to push through boredom and frustration. There will be times when progress feels slow, when you feel like you've hit a wall. Most people quit here and go looking for something more exciting. But if you want mastery, this is exactly where you need to push harder. These plateaus are part of the process. They're where you refine the smallest details that most people ignore, and it's those details that separate someone good from someone great. You also need to learn from the right sources. Not every piece of advice or every teacher will take you closer to mastery. You have to be selective about who you learn from and what you consume. Find people who have proven results, who live the skill every day, and who can help you see your blind spots. Feedback from experienced people can save you years of trial and error. Your environment matters too. If you're trying to master a skill, surround yourself with people who take that skill seriously. If you're the best one in your circle, you won't grow as fast. Be around people who challenge you, who push you to raise your standards, who inspire you to keep going even when you're tired. The more you immerse yourself in an environment of excellence, the more natural it becomes to aim higher. One thing to remember is that mastery isn't about speed, it's about depth. You can't rush it. You can't hack your way to being one of the best. You can work smart, you can learn efficiently, but you still have to put in the hours, and if you're doing something you genuinely value, those hours are an investment, not a burden. Over the years, your skill will become a foundation you can build other abilities on. Once you deeply understand one thing, you'll find it easier to learn related skills. Mastery in one area teaches you how to learn at a higher level. It sharpens your focus, your problem solving, and your persistence, qualities you can apply anywhere in life. The next 10 years will pass whether you commit to mastery or not, but think about the difference between someone who spends the next decade jumping from one interest to another and someone who spends that same decade going deep into one skill. One will have a shelf full of half-finished attempts. The other will have a level of expertise that people respect, seek out, and pay for. The difference isn't talent, it's focus. When you decide on your skill, commit fully. Make a plan for how you'll learn it, practice it, and improve it. Break your learning into stages so you can see progress along the way. Test yourself regularly. Push beyond what feels comfortable. Seek out challenges that force you to use the skill in new ways. Keep learning from others who are further ahead. And most importantly, stay consistent even when it's hard. There's a deep satisfaction in knowing you can do something exceptionally well. It's not just about the opportunities it creates. It's about the pride you feel in your work, the respect you earn from others, and the way it shapes your character. In 10 years, you could be someone who talks about what they could have learned, or you could be someone whose skill speaks for itself. The choice is made now, not later. If you want to fix your next decade, don't spread yourself so thin that you never get anywhere. Choose one skill. Commit to it with everything you have. Go deeper than anyone expects. And by the time those 10 years are over, you'll have something no one can take from you. Mastery that will serve you for the rest of your life. Chapter 4. Say no more often, so you can protect your time. One of the most important skills you can develop for the next 10 years is learning how to say no. Your time is not unlimited, and every request, every invitation, every demand on your attention takes a piece of your life you can never get back. If you keep saying yes to everything, you will find yourself drained, scattered, and unable to focus on the things that actually matter to you. Protecting your time is not selfish. It's necessary if you want to build a life you're proud of. Most people say yes too often because they fear disappointing others. They think declining will make them look unkind, unhelpful, or uncooperative. The truth is, saying yes when you don't mean it is far more damaging in the long run. You overcommit, you spread yourself too thin, and you end up giving a half-hearted effort to everything. That doesn't serve you, and it doesn't truly serve the people you said yes to either. Learning to say no firmly and respectfully allows you to give your best to the things you do choose to commit to. When you don't protect your time, you give others control over your schedule. You might start your day with a clear plan, but if you agree to every new request, your priorities get pushed aside. Before you know it, your days are filled with tasks that don't bring you closer to your goals. This is why saying no is a form of self-respect. It's choosing to value your own time enough to use it intentionally, instead of letting it be consumed by whatever comes your way. To make this work, you need to be clear about what matters most to you. If you're not sure what your priorities are, everything will feel equally important, and you'll keep saying yes without thinking. Take the time to decide what your top commitments are, the work, relationships, and personal goals that truly matter. Once you know what's important, it becomes easier to spot requests that don't align and turn them down without guilt. Saying no doesn't mean being rude or dismissive, it means being direct and honest. You don't owe a long explanation for every no you give. In most cases, a simple "I can't take that on right now" is enough. If you want to maintain goodwill, you can express appreciation for the opportunity or acknowledge the importance of the request, but you still keep your answer clear. The more you practice, the more confident you'll feel in declining without feeling you need to justify it endlessly. A big reason people struggle to say no is because they haven't yet felt the cost of saying yes too much, or they've gotten used to paying that cost. But think about what it means when you agree to something you don't truly want to do. You're not just spending your time, you're spending your energy, your focus, and your mental space. That means less energy for your own goals, less focus for your own work, and less space for the people and activities that matter most to you. When you start saying no more often, you'll notice how much more mental clarity you have. You'll start to see how much unnecessary clutter was filling your schedule before. You'll have more room to think, more time to plan, and more energy to put into the work that moves you forward. Instead of constantly reacting to what others want from you, you start proactively choosing how to spend your days. It's also important to recognize that every yes has a hidden no behind it. If you say yes to working late for a project you didn't need to take on, you're saying no to dinner with your family or a quiet evening to recharge. If you say yes to every social event you're invited to, you might be saying no to the rest you actually need to perform at your best. This is why being intentional matters. Every commitment comes at the cost of something else, whether you see it in the moment or not. If you find it uncomfortable to say no, start small. Begin by turning down requests that are clearly unrelated to your priorities or that you know you can't realistically handle without stress. Pay attention to how you feel afterward. You'll probably notice relief, not regret. That feeling will reinforce the truth that your time is worth guarding. Over time, you'll become more confident in making these decisions and less worried about how others might react. You should also prepare yourself for the fact that not everyone will understand. Some people are used to you always saying yes, and they might be surprised or even push back when you start setting boundaries. That's normal. You don't have to convince them or seek their approval. Your responsibility is to manage your time in a way that serves your values and goals, not to meet every expectation placed on you. Those who truly respect you will adjust, and those who don't may not be people you want shaping your future. When you protect your time, you also set an example for others. You show them that it's possible to be committed and reliable without sacrificing your well-being. You demonstrate that you can be generous with your help without letting it take over your life, and in doing so, you inspire others to value their own time more carefully. One of the best ways to make saying no easier is to have a clear plan for your days and weeks. When you already know how you're using your time, it's much easier to see when a new request doesn't fit. You can say, "I already have something important planned for that time," and you'll be telling the truth, even if that something important is a block of time you've reserved for rest, personal growth, or family. Your time doesn't have to be filled with other people's priorities to be valid. Over the next 10 years, the ability to say no will protect not just your time but your energy, your focus, and your mental health. It will allow you to give your best effort to the things you choose, instead of scattering your energy across dozens of obligations you never really wanted. It will give you the space to think clearly, to work with purpose, and to live in alignment with what matters most to you. Think about the kind of life you want a decade from now. Do you want it to be full of rushed commitments, constant stress, and obligations you resent? Or do you want it to be full of meaningful work, deep relationships and time for the things that truly make you feel alive? That decision begins today, with the requests you say yes to, and the ones you turn down. Every time you say no to something that doesn't serve your goals, you're saying yes to something that does. You're creating space for what's important. You're making sure your future is built on intention, not just on a series of random decisions made to please others. This is how you start living your own life instead of living according to everyone else's plans. So be deliberate. When a request comes in, pause before answering. Ask yourself, will this help me move toward the life I want? Will this protect or drain my energy? Does this align with my priorities? If the answer is no, then your response should be no too. Say it clearly. Say it confidently and move on without guilt, knowing you've chosen to protect one of the most valuable things you have, your time. Chapter 5. Swap one unhelpful routine for something that benefits you. Every day, your life is shaped by the routines you follow, whether you think about them or not. The things you do automatically, the habits you repeat without much thought, are writing the story of your future. Some of those routines move you forward. Others hold you in place or even push you backward. If you want the next 10 years to be different from the last, one of the most powerful steps you can take is to replace one routine that doesn't serve you with one that does. This isn't about overhauling your entire life at once. It's about making a targeted change that produces real benefits over time. When you identify a routine that drains your energy, wastes your time, or keeps you from growing, and you replace it with something that builds you up, you shift the direction of your days in a way that compounds. You take something that was pulling you down and turn it into something that lifts you up. The first step is awareness. You have to look at your daily patterns with complete honesty. Ask yourself, what do I do every day that doesn't help me become the person I want to be? Maybe it's spending too much time scrolling on your phone first thing in the morning. Maybe it's watching hours of TV at night instead of using that time for something meaningful. Maybe it's skipping breakfast and starting the day feeling sluggish. Everyone has at least one routine that's doing more harm than good. Once you've identified one, don't just focus on stopping it. Habits are much harder to break when you try to leave an empty space behind. Instead, replace it with something that serves you. If you normally reach for your phone as soon as you wake up, replace that with a 10-minute stretch or a short planning session for your day. If you usually eat something unhealthy for lunch, replace it with a balanced meal that fuels your energy. The key is not to just remove the old habit, but to actively fill that space with a better one. Choosing the right replacement matters. It should be something you can stick with, something realistic enough to fit into your current life, and something that produces benefits you can feel quickly. Early wins matter because they keep your motivation alive. If the new routine is too difficult or takes too long to show results, you're more likely to drift back to the old one. Start with something that's both manageable and clearly rewarding. You also have to expect some resistance. Your brain likes what's familiar, even if it's not good for you. That's why unhelpful routines can be so hard to break. They've been reinforced over time, and they feel comfortable. You may feel the pull to go back, especially in the first few weeks. This is normal. The key is to prepare for it, and to remind yourself why you're making this change. Keep your focus on the benefits you'll gain, not just on the discomfort of the adjustment. One of the best ways to make the switch stick is to link the new routine to something you already do without thinking. For example, if you want to replace a nightly binge of social media with reading, decide that as soon as you brush your teeth at night, you'll pick up a book instead. If you want to replace skipping breakfast with eating something healthy, decide that you'll prepare it right after you pour your morning coffee. This connection makes the new habit easier to remember and less likely to be skipped. Another important part of the process is tracking your progress. You don't need anything complicated. A simple checklist or calendar will do. Every time you follow the new routine, mark it down. Seeing that streak grow builds momentum. It gives you a visual reminder that you're following through, and it makes you less willing to break the chain. Don't underestimate the ripple effect this one change can have. When you replace an unhelpful routine with a beneficial one, it often spills over into other areas of your life. If you start eating a healthier breakfast, you might find you have more energy to work out. If you replace mindless evening TV with learning something new, you may become more productive during the day, because you're thinking differently. One small shift can trigger a chain of positive changes. It's also worth remembering that not all unhelpful routines are obvious. Some of them hide under the label of harmless or normal. But if you look closely, you'll see the cost. Maybe it's going to bed too late, because you stay up doing tasks that could have waited. Maybe it's agreeing to every small request that comes your way, leaving you with no time for your own priorities. Maybe it's starting the day without a plan, which leads to wasted hours. These may seem small, but over years, they add up to missed opportunities and unfulfilled potential. Making this kind of change also builds your confidence. When you prove to yourself that you can take control of one part of your life and improve it, you start to believe you can do the same in other areas. That belief is powerful. It's what allows you to take on bigger challenges and to keep growing without waiting for perfect conditions. It's important to be patient with yourself during the transition. Old routines don't disappear overnight, and new ones take time to feel natural. Some days you'll follow through without effort, and other days you'll have to push yourself. What matters is that you keep choosing the new routine until it becomes automatic. Consistency, not perfection, is what makes the change permanent. You might also discover that some routines you thought were harmless are actually holding you back more than you realized. As you replace them, you'll start to see the difference in your mood, your energy, and your result. That awareness will make you more protective of your time and habits going forward. You'll think twice before letting something unhelpful settle into your days again. Over the next 10 years, these small but intentional swaps can completely change the course of your life. You don't need to start with something huge. Pick one routine that's not serving you and replace it with one that moves you forward. Then, once that new routine is solid, repeat the process with another. Layering these changes over time creates a life built on habits that support your goals instead of undermining them. In the end, your future won't be determined by what you occasionally decide to do. It will be shaped by what you consistently do without having to think about it. That's why replacing just one unhelpful routine can be such a game changer. It's not just about removing something bad, it's about building a pattern that serves you every day, adding strength to your foundation, and moving you closer to the person you want to be. This is how you create lasting change that carries through the next decade and beyond. Chapter 6. Learn from people who already live the life you want. One of the fastest ways to change your life is to study people who are already living the kind of life you want. They have already made the decisions, built the habits, and faced the challenges you will encounter on your own journey. They know what it takes to get there, because they have done it. You can spend years figuring things out, through trial and error, or you can save yourself time, energy, and unnecessary mistakes by learning directly from their example. This starts with being clear about what the life you want actually means. It's not about copying every detail of someone else's lifestyle, it's about identifying the values, achievements, and qualities you want for yourself. Once you know that, you can start looking for people who already live in alignment with those values and have built the kind of success you respect. It might be in career, relationships, health, finances, personal freedom, or a combination of these areas. When you find these people, don't just admire them from a distance. Pay close attention to how they think, how they act, and how they make decisions. Success leaves patterns, and if you study them carefully, you can see exactly what separates them from the average person. Notice the way they handle time, the way they respond to setbacks, the kind of people they surround themselves with, and the priorities they protect, no matter what. These details are not random, They are the foundation of their results. One of the biggest benefits of learning from someone who has already done what you want to do is avoiding the mistakes they had to make. They've already learned what works and what doesn't. By listening to their experiences, you can skip entire years of wasted effort. You can see the shortcuts that aren't shortcuts at all, and the strategies that actually produce results. You're not just gaining knowledge, you're gaining wisdom that has been tested in real life. The way you learn from these people will depend on your access to them. Some you can meet in person, others you might learn from through books, interviews, speeches, or online content. Don't dismiss the value of indirect learning. If someone has put years of experience into a book or a course, that's decades of trial, error, and growth condensed into something you can absorb in a matter of hours. That's one of the most valuable opportunities you will ever have, yet too many people overlook it. If you are fortunate enough to connect with someone in person, treat that opportunity with respect. Listen more than you talk. Ask questions that show you've done your homework. Don't waste their time with things you could have easily researched yourself. Instead, focus on the insights that only they can give you, the lessons they learned the hard way, the decisions they regret, the principles they would never compromise. These are the kinds of answers that can shape your own path. One of the most important things you will notice when you study people living the life you want is that they think differently from most people. They don't spend energy on things they can't control. They don't waste time on petty arguments. They choose their commitments carefully. They focus on the long term, even when the short term feels more tempting. If you want to create the same kind of results, you need to start thinking the same way. That's not about pretending to be them. It's about understanding the mindset that drives their action. It's also worth paying attention to how they deal with failure. People who have built great lives haven't avoided mistakes. They've faced them head on and learned from them. They don't let setbacks define them. Instead, they treat them as data, information about what needs to be adjusted or improved. If you can learn to see failure the same way, you will recover faster and keep moving forward instead of getting stuck. The people you choose to learn from will also influence your standard. If you spend your time around people who settle for less than they're capable of, you might start lowering your own expectations without even realizing it. But if you surround yourself, even virtually, with people who demand more from themselves, who refuse to compromise on their values, and who keep pushing for better, your own standards will rise. You will start expecting more from yourself, because it will feel normal in that environment. Another lesson you can learn from these people is how they protect their focus. Most high-achieving individuals are deliberate about what they allow into their lives. They guard their time, their energy, and their attention, because they know those are the resources that create their future. They don't say yes to everything, and they don't feel guilty for turning down opportunities that don't align with their goals. Watching how they do this can teach you how to set and keep your own boundaries. Don't just look at the big moments in their journey. Study their everyday habit. Often, it's not the huge dramatic actions that create success. It's the small, consistent choices they make every single day. How do they start their morning? How do they wind down at night? How do they plan their week? These seemingly small routines often explain why they're able to sustain their results over years. Be careful not to idealize anyone completely. Even the people living a life you admire will have flaws, and that's normal. The point is not to copy every part of who they are, but to take the parts that align with your vision and adapt them to your own life. That's how you learn, without losing your individuality. Once you start applying what you learn, you'll see changes faster than you expect. It's not just about copying actions, it's about absorbing the principles behind them. If someone you admire schedules their entire day in advance, the principle might be that they value control over their time. You might adapt that by using a different planning system that fits your style, but serves the same purpose. This is how you make their lessons your own. Over time, the more you learn from these people, the more you'll start to feel like you belong in the same category. At first, you might feel like an outsider looking in, but as you adopt their habits, mindsets, and standards, you'll start to see yourself in the same light. This shift in identity is powerful because it changes how you show up in every area of your life. The next 10 years can be shaped by trial and error, or they can be shaped by tested wisdom from those who have already walked the path. The choice is yours. By learning from people who live the life you want, you're not just getting advice, you're getting a blueprint for your own future. And when you combine that blueprint with consistent action, you put yourself on the fastest track to living that life for yourself. If you're serious about this, make it a habit to seek out these lessons regularly. Read the books, watch the interviews, attend the events, join the community. Keep exposing yourself to people who are where you want to be. Keep asking yourself what they would do in your situation. Keep applying what you learn immediately, so it becomes part of your own behavior. The years ahead will reward those who learn from experience, whether it's their own or someone else's. And if you choose to learn from those already living the life you want, you'll cut years off your learning curve and position yourself for the kind of results most people only dream about. This is how you turn admiration into action, and action into a life you've been aiming for all along. Chapter 7. Keep a record of lessons. Life teaches you. Life is constantly teaching you something, whether you notice it or not. Every challenge, every mistake, every conversation, and every success carries a lesson inside it. The problem is, most people experience these lessons, feel them for a moment, and then let them slip away. They assume they will remember, but they rarely do. And when similar situations come back around, they make the same decisions, fall into the same traps, and lose the opportunity to grow faster. If you want to make the next 10 years of your life stronger, wiser, and more effective than the last, you need to keep a record of the lessons life gives you. Recording what life teaches you is not just about journaling for the sake of writing. It's about building a personal library of wisdom you can refer to when you need it most. The human mind forgets quickly. Something that feels unforgettable in the moment can fade in weeks or even days if you don't capture it. When you write it down, you preserve it. You give yourself the ability to revisit the insight, to see patterns you didn't notice before, and to remind yourself of truths you've already learned when the temptation to ignore them comes back. These lessons don't always come from dramatic events. Some of the most powerful ones come from small, everyday experiences. The way a conversation shifted when you chose to listen instead of argue. The way your mood improved after a morning walk. The way you felt when you delayed a purchase and realized you didn't need it after all. By writing these down, you create a record of what actually works in your life, not just what sounds good in theory. It's also important to note that lessons are not always positive. Some of them are warning. They come from times you acted too quickly, trusted the wrong person, or ignored your own instincts. These moments can be uncomfortable to think about, but they're some of the most valuable entries you can make. They remind you of the cost of certain choices, so you don't have to pay it twice. Without a record, it's too easy to forget and repeat the same decision, convincing yourself that this time will be different when nothing has changed. How you choose to record these lessons is up to you, but it needs to be a system you'll actually use. It could be a notebook you carry with you, a digital file you update daily, or even voice notes if that's easier. What matters most is that you make it a habit. The act of recording needs to be consistent enough that you don't rely on memory alone. Even a few sentences a day can create a collection of insights that becomes priceless over time. You don't need to write in perfect sentences or turn it into a polished piece of work. The purpose is not to impress anyone, it's to capture the raw truth of what you've learned before it fades. That means writing it as you felt it, noting the details that made the lesson clear to you. The exact situation, how you reacted, what happened as a result, and what you would do differently next time. The more detail you include, the more useful it will be later. Over the years, this habit will give you a powerful advantage. Most people live their lives reacting to situations as if they've never faced anything similar before. They make decisions based only on the present moment, forgetting the wisdom they could have drawn from their own past. By keeping a record, you have a personal reference that reminds you how you've handled similar moments, what worked and what didn't. It becomes like having a mentor that knows you better than anyone else, because it's built entirely from your own experience. Another benefit is that writing these lessons forces you to slow down and reflect. In a fast-moving world, people rush from one thing to the next without taking the time to understand what just happened. When you pause to record a lesson, you're not just storing it, you're processing it. You're thinking about why it happened, what it means, and how it can help you in the future. That deeper reflection often turns a simple observation into a meaningful insight you can use for years. You will also start to see recurring patterns. As you read back over your entries, you may notice that certain themes keep appearing. Lessons about patience, self-control, preparation, or communication. These patterns are clues to the areas of your life that need the most attention. They reveal where you've grown and where you're still repeating the same behaviors. This kind of self-awareness is hard to get without a written record. It's not just your own life you can learn from, you can also record lessons you see in others. Watching how someone else handles success, failure, or conflict can teach you what to do or what to avoid. You might see a colleague handle a difficult conversation with calm and clarity, and you can note exactly what made it effective. Or you might watch someone ignore a problem until it became a crisis, and you can record why you never want to let that happen in your own life. This way you benefit from the experiences of others without having to go through all of them yourself. This habit is also a gift to your future self. There will be times in the next 10 years when you feel stuck, unsure of what to do next, or like you've lost perspective. In those moments, reading through your own lessons can remind you of the progress you've made, the strength you've shown, and the strategies that have worked for you before. It's a way of pulling yourself out of doubt by using the evidence of your own life. You might even choose to share some of these lessons with others. The wisdom you record could help your children, your friends, or people you mentor. What you've learned through years of trial and error could save someone else time, pain, or wasted effort. But even if you never share it, the act of keeping it will still transform how you approach your own challenges. The longer you do this, the more you'll realize that life is an ongoing teacher. There is no point where you've learned it all. Every season brings new situations, new people, and new opportunities to grow. Some lessons will confirm what you already know, while others will completely change how you see the world. Your record becomes a map of your growth, proof that you are evolving, adapting, and getting better with time. There will be days when you don't feel like writing anything down, when the lessons seem small or unimportant, but those are often the days that matter most. Big changes are rare. Small adjustments happen all the time. And those small adjustments, if remembered and applied, are what shape your future. Even a simple note like taking a short walk at lunch made me feel more focused can be the seed of a habit that improves your life for years. If you keep this up for the next decade, you'll look back and see a record of thousands of moments that could have easily been forgotten. Instead, they'll be there, ready to guide you, remind you, and keep you on track. You'll have a personal guidebook for how to live your life well, written entirely from your own experience. And that's something no one else can give you. Life will continue to test you, teach you, and shape you. You can choose to let those lessons pass through you without leaving a mark. Or you can choose to capture them, learn from them, and use them to build a stronger future. The choice is yours. But if you want the next 10 years to be richer in wisdom, more efficient in progress, and more meaningful in results, start recording your lessons now. 10 years from today, you'll thank yourself for every page you fill. Chapter 8. Act on your plans, even when you feel unready. If you wait until you feel completely ready to act on your plans, you will spend years standing still. Readiness is not a feeling that arrives before you start, it is something that grows as you move forward. Most people misunderstand this. They think they need more time, more knowledge, more confidence, or better conditions before they can take action. But those things come as a result of starting, not as a requirement for it. If you want to create a better next 10 years, you have to be willing to move while you still feel uncertain. There will always be reasons to delay. You can tell yourself you'll begin when you have more money, when you have more free time, when the market changes, or when your circumstances improve. But life rarely presents perfect timing. There will always be something unfinished, something unknown, something that feels uncomfortable. If you train yourself to wait for ideal conditions, you'll look back years from now and see the same ideas still sitting on the shelf where you left them. Acting before you feel ready is not recklessness. It is accepting that progress comes through doing, not endless preparation. Planning has its place. You should think ahead, gather information, and avoid obvious mistakes. But there is a line where planning becomes hiding. At some point, adding another plan, another spreadsheet, or another discussion is just a way to avoid the discomfort of actually starting. If you've reached that point, action is the only thing that will move you forward. When you take action before you feel ready, you discover what you actually need to learn. You stop guessing about the challenges and start facing the real one. You see where your skills hold up and where they need work. You find opportunities you couldn't have seen from the sidelines. This is how you gain practical experience that no amount of thinking could give you. Fear will always be part of this process. You may fear failing, fear looking foolish, fear making a wrong move. These fears are not proof that you should wait. They're proof that you are stepping into something new. And that's exactly where growth happens. The people who build meaningful lives are not the ones who have no fear. They're the ones who act in spite of it. They understand that discomfort is a sign they're stretching themselves into new territory. The first steps you take will not be perfect. They aren't supposed to be. Perfection is a trap that keeps people frozen. The purpose of starting is not to get everything right immediately. It's to gain momentum, to create movement, and to give yourself the chance to improve through real-world feedback. Every project, every goal, and every change will require adjustment along the way. You can't make those adjustments until you are already in motion. Sometimes acting before you're ready is the only way to reveal if an idea is even worth pursuing. You might find that something you've been imagining for years is not what you thought it would be. That's not failure, it's clarity. You can then redirect your energy towards something better instead of holding on to a fantasy that never gets tested. The longer you wait to test it, the more you risk building your life around an unproven idea. Taking action without feeling fully prepared also builds resilience. You learn how to make decisions under pressure, how to adapt when things don't go exactly as planned, and how to recover when you stumble. These are skills that will serve you for the rest of your life. They can't be developed from the comfort of only doing things you already feel prepared for. To make this work, you have to accept that mistakes will happen. No one takes action and gets everything right from the beginning. You will make errors in judgment, you will overlook details, and you will encounter setbacks. That's part of the process. The key is to treat these moments as data, not as reasons to quit. Every misstep gives you information you can use to improve your next move. You also need to focus on building trust in yourself. The more often you take action without perfect readiness, the more you prove to yourself that you can handle uncertainty. Over time, you stop needing every detail to be in place before you move forward. You start believing in your ability to figure things out as you go. That trust in your own adaptability becomes one of your most valuable strengths. Taking action early doesn't mean ignoring preparation entirely. It means preparing enough to take the first step, then learning the rest through doing. Think of it as building while you walk. You can plan the general direction, but you don't have to have every step mapped before you begin. As you move, you'll see the road more clearly and make adjustments along the way. Another important benefit of starting before you feel ready is that it keeps you ahead of the people who are still waiting. Many opportunities have a window, they're there for a while, and then they're gone. If you wait until you feel completely ready, someone else will already be there, taking the spot you could have had. Speed doesn't mean rushing without thought, it means not letting hesitation steal your chance. You can make this easier on yourself by breaking your plan into smaller, immediate actions. If the full goal feels overwhelming, focus on what you can do today. Send the email, make the call, set up the meeting, create the first draft. Small steps reduce the weight of starting and build the habit of moving forward. As you check off these steps, you create momentum that makes the next actions easier. It's also helpful to remind yourself of the cost of inaction. Every day you delay is a day you could have been building skills, making connections, and creating results. Waiting feels safe in the moment, but over time it's one of the riskiest choices you can make, because it keeps you in the same place. Years from now, the regret of not starting will weigh heavier than the discomfort of starting before you felt ready. You don't have to feel brave to act. You just have to take the next step while your doubts are still talking. Courage is not a lack of uncertainty, it's movement despite it. The more you practice, the more natural it becomes. Eventually, acting without full readiness stops feeling reckless and starts feeling like the normal way to approach growth. This is how you close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. You stop waiting for the perfect moment. You stop believing you need every answer. You accept that learning comes through doing, and you choose to step forward even when your mind tells you to hold back. Over the next 10 years, this single decision, to act before you feel ready, will put you ahead of the majority of people who are still waiting for conditions that may never arrive. You will never have complete certainty about your path, and you don't need it. What you need is the willingness to take the first move and the discipline to keep going once you've started. The world rewards those who act, not those who only plan. If you commit to acting on your plans even when you feel unready, you'll look back a decade from now with the satisfaction of knowing you didn't let hesitation decide your future.
Chapter 10. Keep your focus on what matters more than anything. In every stage of life, there will be countless things fighting for your attention. Opportunities will come and go. People will ask for your time. Problems will appear without warning. The world will keep throwing distractions at you, and if you let them, they will pull you in every direction, except the one that truly matters. The reality is, your next 10 years will not be shaped by how much you do, but by how much of your effort is invested in what actually counts. If you want to build a life that feels meaningful and successful, you must learn to keep your focus locked on what matters more than anything else. The first challenge is that what matters most is not always the loudest thing demanding your attention. The tasks that truly move your life forward often feel quiet, unurgent, and easy to postpone. Meanwhile, distractions show up with urgency and pressure. They disguise themselves as important because they're immediate. This is why so many people spend their days reacting instead of creating. If you don't take control of your focus, you will spend years giving your best energy to things that leave your life unchanged. Keeping your focus on what matters starts with clarity. You need to know exactly what your priorities are. Vague ideas like "I want to be successful" or "I want to be happier" won't guide you. You must identify the core areas that deserve your consistent attention. That could be building your health, deepening your relationships, advancing your work, mastering a skill, or securing your financial stability. The clearer you are, the easier it becomes to recognize when something is pulling you off course. Once you know what matters, you have to create boundaries that protect it. This means saying no to things that might be interesting, convenient, or easy, but don't align with your top priorities.
Every yes to a distraction is a no to your most important goals. This is not about becoming rigid or inflexible. It's about making deliberate choices. You can still enjoy variety and new experiences, but not at the expense of the work and commitments that will define your future. A major reason people lose focus is because they underestimate how much energy gets wasted on small, unimportant decisions. They spend hours deciding on minor details, engaging in pointless arguments, or chasing approval from people who don't truly matter in their lives. If you want to protect your focus, you need to cut down the noise. Simplify the unimportant so you can give more energy to the essential. This might mean automating certain tasks, setting fixed routines, or removing yourself from situations that consistently drain you. It's also crucial to control your environment. Your surroundings have a powerful influence on where your attention goes. If your phone is always buzzing, your desk is covered in clutter, or your workspace is full of distractions, it becomes harder to stay locked in on your most important work. Creating an environment that supports focus means removing as many temptations as possible. It means designing your space so that the easiest thing to do is also the most important thing to do. Another skill you must develop is learning how to bring your mind back when it wanders. No matter how disciplined you are, your attention will drift. The difference between those who achieve their goals and those who don't is how quickly they return to the task that matters. Don't waste energy feeling guilty when your focus slips. Just notice it, reset, and get back to what counts. That ability to refocus quickly can save you years of lost time. Your focus also depends on how you manage your energy throughout the day. You can't expect to do your most important work when you're exhausted or mentally scattered. Pay attention to when you have the most mental clarity and protect that time fiercely. If your mind is sharpest in the morning, that's when you should work on your highest priorities, not when you should be clearing emails or handling routine tasks. Part of keeping your focus is reminding yourself why what you're doing matters in the first place. It's easy to get caught up in the grind and lose sight of the bigger picture. When the work feels repetitive or progress feels slow, reconnect with your reason. Think about how this goal will change your life, how it will impact the people you care about, and what it will mean to look back knowing you followed through. A strong why gives your focus resilience. You should also review your progress regularly. Without checking in, it's easy to drift off track without realizing it. Set aside time to assess whether your actions this week lined up with your main priorities. If they didn't, make immediate adjustments. The longer you allow small distractions to replace important work, the harder it becomes to correct your course. Short, consistent reviews keep you honest about where your energy is really going. Keeping your focus on what matters is not just about productivity, it's about living intention. When you invest your attention in the things that count, you create a life that reflects your values instead of one that's built on random events. This makes your achievements more meaningful and your time feel well spent. You stop chasing every possible path and start walking the one that matters most to you. There will always be temptations to shift your attention. You'll see other people doing different things, achieving in different areas, and you might feel the urge to change direction. But switching focus too often keeps you from reaching depth in anything. You can admire what others are doing without abandoning your own priorities. Every time you feel the pull to chase something new, ask yourself whether it truly serves what matters most or if it's just a momentary distraction. One of the most powerful habits you can build is starting your day by deciding your top priorities before anything else can influence you. Before checking messages or reacting to outside demands, decide what matters today and commit to it. Even if the rest of your day gets busy or unpredictable, protecting just a few hours for your highest priorities can create massive results over time. It's also worth remembering that focus is not permanent. Life changes, priorities shift. What matters most today might not be the same in 5 years. That's why part of keeping your focus is regularly asking yourself whether your current priorities still align with the life you want to build. Adjust when needed, but do it with intention, not out of distraction or impatience. When you stay committed to what matters most, you create a kind of momentum that builds year after year. Each day of focused effort compounds into something far greater than what you could achieve by scattering your attention. You develop mastery, strengthen your discipline, and build a body of work or a life experience that stands as proof of your commitment. In the end, keeping your focus on what matters more than anything is about respect. Respect for your time, your goals, and your future. It's deciding that you won't let the noise of the world drown out the signal of your own priorities. Over the next 10 years, you will face endless chances to drift, but you will also have the choice to hold your ground. If you choose to stay centered on the things that truly count, you will build a life you can look back on with pride, knowing you didn't just get busy, you got better at the things that matter most.